بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, we have gathered again through the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we may listen to some aspects of related to our spiritual progress, threading the path of suluk, pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, staying away, abstaining from sins, trying and combating our nafs and shaitan, suppressing our egos for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now these programs that we have, alhamdulillah, on Saturday night we had a very inspiring program, different speakers, and all emphasizing on one thing, and that is connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now how do we connect to Allah Rabbul Izzah? This is the purpose of these gatherings. Many times you want to hear a flowery speech, and for a few seconds you say, wah, wah. But that's the end of it. We are not concerned about making islah of ourselves, making a change in our lives, trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every second of our life. We don't just do some actions now and then, some righteous deeds, and be content with that. Sahaba ikram, ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, would do such great ibadat. And after performing various ibadat, they would be so concerned, so worried, whether that action is accepted by Allah or not. And we know the level of their ikhlas, purity of their hearts, the consciousness they had of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Last night we heard in the program of his Dr. Abdul Qadir Hansa from Ladysmith, he was giving some advices which he heard from Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, many of you may have met him when he came to South Africa. What a great wali of Allah he was. What a great personality. Soft-hearted, soft-tabiat, full of love and affection. And how he made an effort on the hearts of so many people. The manner in which he made tarbiyat of his murideen, his students. Now this is something for us to learn. When we sit here, it is with the niyat of how we can implement these teachings, which are all got from Quran and Hadith. How we can bring it into our lives. How we can make this change. Sometimes the medication that is prescribed to us by the doctors when you go, we are sick, we are ill, we go to the doctor. The medication is very bitter. Now because the medication is bitter, we're not going to abandon the medication and look for some sweet medication. If that medication is bitter but is beneficial, then you will have to take it. Sometimes that medication is bitter, but you only have to take it for a few days. So 3 or 4 days course, and after that is no problem. Sometimes the doctor gives us that medication, it's bitter, but he tells you can take some, take it with honey. Or it's in a capsule form, so you don't even feel the bitterness. So many times, the message is put across to us in a very sweet way. But not all the time you're going to get some sweet medication. But the important thing is we have to try and bring this medication and apply it and bring it to our lives so that when we reach the akhirat and our eyes close, we are among those qad aflaha man zakkah. Successful are those who have purified their hearts. And we go with a clean heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a filthy heart. We all are weak. Nobody is a doctor here. We all are patients. We all are trying. And we are in this hospital. So to keep on recharging our spiritual self and to keep on ensuring that we are servicing this heart of ours and we connect into Allah Ta'ala, that we have that Allah consciousness. And how do we get all this? is by gatherings of this nature we were reminded of Allah's consciousness. So Dr. Hansa Saab was mentioning, Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, he spent many months, 5.5 months in the khidmat of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. So he said for a period of time, just one thing he kept on hearing from Allah Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, that all the time you must be aware of the fact that Allah is watching you. That's all. All the time you must be aware of the fact that Allah is watching you. So Dr. Ansar said, thought to himself, every day, every time, Hazrat, you only give me this one thing. Surely there are other things also, but why? All the time, just remember Allah is watching you, Allah is watching you. He says, one day he calls me, he said, Fula Masjid, certain masjid, you go there, and next to the masjid is the tailor. Just go and tell him, Abbaji, referring to Muhammad Masjullah, Abbaji gave salams, and asked, Abbaji ka kapra tayar hai, is his clothing, kurta, is it ready? That's all. He goes there, finds out whatever, and he comes back to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Ji asks, kya hua? So he says, Hazrat Ji, I gave you a salam, and I asked him, is your clothes ready? Bas. I don't need to know any further. Lekin sach bolo, speak the truth, be honest to me. When you left the khanka and you went to fetch your clothes, for that short period of time, did you have this consciousness that Allah is watching you all the time? Dr. Saab said, you know, at that moment I forgot about it. He said, this is what I'm trying to say. That all the time, this is when you have tarbiyat. Now, we are not sitting in the hankas only. Difficult for us. So whatever program we have, and we try our best ourselves, the person who's speaking is the most sick person. But we're reading from Malfuzat of Akabir, so that we can benefit. Sometimes they are saying certain things that when we ponder and reflect, we don't have this vital aspect in our life. And then the urge is created in the heart that let me bring this into my life. Never sit with the intention that I have all these things. MashaAllah, if we have it, make shukr. If a person has humility, or he doesn't become angry so quickly, then he must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we got other diseases also. Nobody is perfect. And never sit thinking that this whole message is for a certain person sitting there. Allah Ta'ala puts into the heart or into the lips of the speaker, if he's of course sincere himself, and if the people are sincere, Allah puts sometimes such things that are beneficial for all of us. And each person thinks that that message is directed towards me. Why? The maqsad is to bring the change in ourselves. Nobody wants to remain sick his whole life. We all want to become good, healthy and strong. So the spiritual heart has to become strong. And therefore, inshallah, tonight we will discuss some of the anecdotes, the malfuzat of Mujaddid-e-Millat Hazrat Thaniwi Rahmatullah Ali. If you see Hazrat Thaniwi Rahmatullah's writings, unique. He was inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ilham. The things that he mentions, of course, we remember, we listen very carefully. He said ilham. Ilham means person who is not a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The doors of Nubuwwat are closed. The last final messenger was our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khatamun Nabiyin. But I mentioned previously, doors of Nubuwwat are closed, but the doors of Wilayat are still open. Each one of us can still become the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, Ya ayyul ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Fear Allah ta'ala and be with the sadiqeen, the truthful ones, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will continue inshallah. This Wali cannot become a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi of Allah is chosen, finish. But we can become the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Thaniwi Rahmatullah Ali, he would tell people that if you want to become insan, if you want to become a murid and you want to reach very high stages, spiritual stages, you go some other person's hanka. But if you become a human being, insan, then you come and sit by me. And basic things he would teach the people. Basic things. And inshallah, we'll see from his few anecdotes which some person has compiled. Otherwise, there's so many more when we read his kitabs. And this is in English, original Urdu. It's translated. Therefore, I'll just read the English, inshallah. So this is not following one topic. Different aspects, different topics, small malfuzat has been mentioned. But let us listen carefully, inshallah, attentively. With the niyat that, Ya Allah, All these good qualities and whatever teachings, advices are given, and all this is given not from these pockets, from Quran and Hadith. These people were soaked in Quran and Hadith. Day and night, day and night. Hazrat Thani Ramadhan wrote so many kitabs. When he passed on, Noor actually came out from between his fingers. If you read his Bayan al-Quran, of course, the Arabic guru know, the Urdu, the explanation is amazing, amazing. There's so many times when we are not very, we require more explanation on a certain tafsir. And we've seen many other tafsir kitabs. And then you open Bayan al-Quran of Hazrat Thani Ramadhan, and how beautifully and how simply he explains things which are difficult for us to understand. He's got one of these malfuzat, we're not going in order, but he's got here, the essence of noble character. It is clear from the ahadith that the essence of noble character is not to give taklif, not to trouble, annoy, hinder, inconvenience anyone. That this is the essence of good character. We talk about, let us have the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let us have the noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, what is the essence of having good character? It is not to give taklif to any person. You don't give idha. Idha is the Arabic word. Don't give idha to the khalq of Allah Rabbul Izzah, to the makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't hurt, don't harm any person or any makhluq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a hadith states that one should not remove the stick of a brother. Person using an asa, a stick. Don't just take it away from its place, lest he becomes annoyed. In other words, a simple thing like a stick. Now it belongs to somebody else. Don't take it away. He'll come looking for it. Many times we have the habit of taking somebody's shoes when we want to go to the toilet. I don't understand what the reason is that we don't wear our own shoes and go to the toilet. Now the poor person comes out, he looks for his champal. He's looking up and down, he can't find it. Why? Somebody has taken it and borrowed it without his permission and gone to the toilet. And many times, he looks for his champal, he finds it, but it's soaking. Now he knows very well he came to the masjid, and he placed his shoes in the shoe rack, but he comes out, he's soaking. Now, that's not being correct, that's not being fair to some person. Somebody else is belonging. Ask the person permission if you require anything from him. He gives you permission, well and good. And also use the thing that he has given you, the object, correctly. Don't abuse it. Somebody lends you his car, doesn't mean that you can go for a joyride and you can use it as you want. He's giving you an amanat. But in this malfuz of Hazrat Thani Ramadhan is talking about, he says, this should not be done intentionally or in jest. In other words, you took away his property, his object, whatever, his stick. You took it away, you're just joking with him even. But for those few moments, you're annoying him. You're causing him hurt. You're causing him taklif. Due to the annoyance caused, such jest is forbidden. I mentioned the other night, Mullah Abrar al-Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would not even give taklif to the ants. Things like ants, we see, we just want to just destroy them. He goes to make wudu, and it so happened in that wudu khana where he was, in the masjid, in one of the masjids in India, there were ants there. So he went onto the next seat. There again he saw ants, he hopped on the third and fourth. Somebody watching him, Hazrat, just sitting, hopping from seat to seat to seat. What's the matter? He said, every time I went to make wudu, I saw some ants there. Now if I'm going to open the tap and make wudu, those poor ants will be destroyed. So I don't want to give taklif to the ants. Mullah Masihullah Rahmatullah, who we were talking about before this, he goes home to sleep one night, and he finds a cat on his bed, fast asleep. He said, the entire night, Hazrat Masihul Ummat Rahmatullah Ali slept on the floor. He said, because I didn't disturb the sleep of this cat. Now, with animals, they were so particular. Rasulullah SAW and Sahaba are going. One Sahabi, he saw some nestlings. So he took away the nestlings from the mother, and he put it under his shawl. And when Rasulullah SAW just comes, appears there, he had gone for some work, and he came back, he sees the mother fluttering her wings. He says, who has frightened this mother with regards to her children and taken her children away? This one Sahabi said, I took it. He says, Ruddu ha iliha. Give those nestlings back to the mother. You're causing the mother pain and taklif. Qurbani time, what are we told? Slaughter the animal in such a way that the knife is sharp. And don't sharpen the knife in front of the animal. Rasulullah tells the Sahabi, when Sahabi was sharpening the knife before the animal, he said, you want to give the animal two moths, two deaths? One is you're going to slaughter it, but before that you're making it, instilling so much fear in it, as though you're killing it. So sharpen the knife away from the animal. This is the teaching of Islam. So don't take away some person's property. Even in a joke also. He may come out, he's not in the mood, he's not feeling well. Now what's going to happen? He'll start fighting and swearing and shouting. And you said, I was just joking with you. So whenever you take some person's thing, ask permission first. Even though in your mind this person is not in need of that object, still you could ask him permission. Now see, so simple things, as the Thani Ramakrishna mentioned, but if you look into our own lives, there's so many things we may be doing of a similar nature, and we need to rectify and reform that. Then he mentions about, somebody asks you something. So to avoid giving an answer when questioned, or to delay the answer, causing the questioner the inconvenience of waiting, is highly disrespectful. Understand this properly. This is not asking masla masail or something. Person asking you a normal conversation, he asks you something, now you ignore his question. You ignore him. Or you give him the answer after some time. Now this is not respectful. Somebody asks you something, you give him jawab. Yes. Sometimes you will find many mashayikh, somebody saying, asking something, they won't give an answer immediately. The reason for this is, it could be a masala and he has to check. Or he's pondering over the question, trying to understand what the man is saying. Or sometimes the question is a very foolish question. It's intended to incite some type of fitna. It happens very, very common. We want to needle the monana or needle the person. So we'll ask a controversial question. So in that case, the person will ignore the question. That's not disrespectful. You're talking about a normal person, somebody asks you something, and he expects an answer, jawab. Yes, sometimes the person is busy, he's talking to some person, and then you butt in, and then you're asking a question, obviously, that's you being disrespectful. But normal circumstance, we're traveling together, we're sitting, somebody asks a question. Now, if you don't like the man, or you had some problem, now you're not answering him, you're keeping quiet, how embarrassing, everybody else are sitting there, and now you're not answering. That is what we're talking about. That is being highly disrespectful. Then one malfooz about Tawbah, the power of Tawbah. He says, even if the whole world, is covered in sin, Tawbah, sincere Tawbah, wipes it all. An example as the Thani Ram gives, he says, dynamite is small in size, but can destroy huge mountains. Many times they're building some road in some mountain pass, and they use the dynamites and explosives to demolish those mountains. A small dynamite, and yet it destroys huge mountains. Tawbah has that effect, in fact far greater. One sincere Tawbah, and it blows out, destroys all the sins the person made. Whatever gunas you made, whole world is full of gunas. But a person makes sincere tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the effect and this is the power of tawbah. May Allah ta'ala help us and give us the tawfiq of making regular tawbah and istighfar. Sincere tawbah. We have to continue making tawbah to Allah ta'ala. Make istighfar all the time. Courage and effort. A bondsman of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should build up courage and make effort. Allah ta'ala will ensure the person's success. When a father sees his child walking 10 steps and falling, then due to mercy and compassion, he assists the child and takes him into the lap. Just as the father desires the child to make an effort to walk, in the same way, Allah Ta'ala wishes to see our effort. But sad to say, we are not prepared to move from our positions. We are not prepared to make any effort. So we have to have courage, himmat. And with himmat, we're going to make an effort. These are two important ingredients for success. We are threading this path of suluk. We want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Person has to have a lot of courage. We can't sit back and say, no, I'm a big gunegar. Very difficult to refrain from this guna and that guna. I can't do it. Exactly like a person is diagnosed by the doctor, take this medication, you got to operate, you got to do a procedure, you got to do this. No, I can't do it. So what's going to happen? By you just sitting by the doctor and listening to his diagnosis, you're not going to get cured. If it means you need an operation or a procedure or some surgery, you'll have to do it. You can explain to the doctor that I got a pain in my tooth and this is what I'm doing. And he's saying, no, this one we have to now extract it. And you say, no, I'm very afraid. Or if you need an injection, you say, doc, please, man, leave it out. Big people, strong people, when it comes to injections, very weak. They say, no, doc, leave that out, man. Give me something else, please, man. Now, little children, they give them lollipop. Now, big uncles, you can't give them lollipop after injection. But this is the thing, exactly like that. When it comes to reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes it requires more himmah to refrain from the sin. It's difficult because the person is immersed in that, he's absorbed in that guna for many years. It has become second nature to him. Allah save us. Person commits zina all the time. Now he can't leave that zina. He requires a lot of courage. And Hazrat Arif Billah Zakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned that you got to have such himmat, that even if your jaan goes away, even if your life goes away, still you won't commit this sin. Still you won't commit this. Even if my life goes away, I'm going to pluck up all the courage, muster up that courage for the sake of my Allah. And Allah will give the person that himmat and courage and that mujahada and effort. We mentioned before, mashakkat bila mujahada. If a person, or islah bila mujahada, person wants islah. He wants to reform himself. He wants reformation to take place. But he's not prepared to make any effort. He wants to sit relaxed, comfortable, and enjoy whatever he's doing. And he says, I want islah of my nafs. Impossible. This example we've heard many times now. Allah save us from accidents and all, but the car requires some panel beating. And you go to any panel beater and he says, no, we need to sort out this car. We'll panel beat this car. He says, no. I think if you're going to panel beat it, you know, you're going to knock the car this way, that way. It'll look very bad. You shouldn't do it. Just leave it. Let it just park off there. Nothing will happen. The person will have to panel beat the car. And after panel beating the car, what happens? It looks more newer than what it was before. So islah requires some mujahada, requires some effort, courage and effort. As the Thani Ramana mentions, just as the father desires a child to make an effort to walk, in the same way Allah wishes to see our effort. Allah wants us to take a few steps at least towards Him. And Allah comes running towards us. Allah makes it easy for us. But we're not prepared to walk. Then how are we going to reach our destination? Allah wants us to, you know what, we can't sit all the time. Little baby, we say, hey, you're so lazy. This child not even crawling still, man. But the moment the child crawls, parents become happy. The moment he starts standing, they become excited. Begins to take a few steps, oh, there's so much of joy and happiness. Allah wants to see his bandha walking towards him, making that extra effort. Person now begins 5 times salat, how happy Allah becomes. Previously, there was no salat. Now he's doing 5 times salat. Now he walks a bit more further, a little bit more effort. Now he's reading his tahajjud namaz also. And then ishraq and chash and awabin. Before, no tilawat at all. Now he's reading every day at least Yasin Sharif. And then he makes a little bit more effort because he's beginning to enjoy himself. You see, the child walks 1-2 steps, falls down, parent brings it to his lap. After that, takes a few more steps. 5-6 steps. Then he's walking more and enjoying it. And you think the child will get hurt. Goes right till the edge. Almost losing his balance. And then gets onto his balance. In fact, the child even starts smiling and laughing. Allah Ta'ala loves that effort from our side. And we can make that effort. We must not be lazy. For dunya, we're not lazy. So why for akhirat we are lazy? So he says, nothing is impossible for a person with courage. If you've got courage, nothing is impossible. Courage is cultivated by staying in the company of a kamil, an experienced spiritual guide. May Allah bless us with such people. Or by communicating with him. by communicating with a kamil person. And then a person automatically will get courage. Until you don't go to the person and explain to him your weaknesses and your problems, then nothing will happen. If you are sick, what's the first thing we ask? Well, you've seen the doctor. Why we ask? Because we want the person to be cured. He's saying my stomach is paining and I'm getting this side pain and my head is paining and this happening, so many pains. On his own, that's not going to come right. You have to take some medication and you can't take your own medication because you'll be in serious problems after that. So you've got to go to the doctor, he'll tell you, take an x-ray, do this test, that test. But what will he do? He'll talk to you. He will speak to you. No matter what problem you have, no matter what sickness, illness you've got, he will give you a lot of courage. Exactly like that. The Shaykh will give courage to the murid, or the person who is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what sin the person has committed, we see this every single day now. Person feels there is no tawbah for him. And he has done such terrible things in his life, he committed zina for years. In fact, his father, the child, of course, we must not go that direction. Now what does he do? He's feeling the remorse, the regret. He does not want to go to the and face Allah Ta'ala in that condition, the akhirat. But he needs that courage. He needs somebody to tell him, just turn to Allah and make the tawbah. And Allah will forgive you. And when he hears that, he feels so good that at least there's some hope for me. Otherwise, I thought all doors were closed for me. But that can only happen if you go up to some person and explain to him that I've got this problem. I need to change my life. I need that Islam. I need that reformation. Or whatever the person is, gambling, or he's drinking, or he's on drugs, or he's casting lustful glances at women, or he's got a habit of stealing, or he's got a habit of gossiping or causing friction amongst people. Whatever the weakness, or he's got pride, or he's jealous, he can't see his neighbor more prosperous than him. He can't see his neighbor doing so well. It eats him up. Are we going to go in the qabr with hasad and malice and greed and filth? No, we don't want to go in that condition. And therefore we have to ask the person, the Shaykh, that guide me in these matters. May Allah Ta'ala make our islah, Allah help us to ourselves become pious, saliheen, kamilin, inshaAllah. And therefore, as Atani mentioned, the greater jihad. He said, there was no other shaitan that led shaitan and Iblis astray. Iblis was mal'oon, was cursed. But it didn't require another shaitan to mislead him. What misled shaitan? His nafs. His carnal desires led him astray and turned him into Iblis. Overpowering the nafs holds priority over overpowering the enemy. Thus, Hazrat Thani Rahman mentioned, striving against the nafs has been referred to as Jihad Akbar, the greater jihad. Why? Because this nafs is with you all the time. And the nafs will sometimes make you do a good action, but take away the sincerity. Nafs will take you and prompt you towards some haram. You are going to come to the masjid, everything. And suddenly a friend calls you, say, let's go out today. Let's go play ball. And the pretext of playing ball, what happens after that? So therefore, we got to fight this nafs. As well as the shaitan, or his ki bibi. Who's the wife of shaitan? The nafs. All the time, these are the two people you got to have in front of you. And you got to be aware of nafs and shaitan. And when a person is sincere, and a person begins to make his islah, and he is listening and taking the medication that is prescribed to him, a time comes when he becomes aware of the tricks and of nafs and shaitan. He himself will be able to detect, this is my nafs putting me towards that haram. And therefore I'm not going to do it. May Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and hidayat of subduing our nafs and shaitan. On our own, it's difficult. Very difficult. We have to listen to our talks of deen all the time. If you listen and become aware that this nafs and shaitan will tempt us to evil all the time, we have to get our mindset right. And if you listen to it, to this talks all the time, if you make istighfar, zikrullah, la ilaha illallah every day of our life, Then only then we'll be able to rid all these maladies of the heart. Then we'll be able to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to keep on washing our cars. We have to keep on polishing our shoes. Keep on washing our clothes. Keep on cleaning our homes. Wiping the windows, washing the windows, washing the carpets, washing the curtains, washing our utensils. Imagine if those utensils, the dishes, every day we eating, not even just washing them. What will be the condition? Don't we empty our rubbish bins? Or we leave it there. So if you worry about cleanliness, which you should worry, it's part of Iman, then what about the cleanliness of the heart? When specks of dust are coming all the time, when rubbish is filling our heart all the time, what happens? We'll either listen to something which is going to make us ghafil of Allah Ta'ala. We're either seeing those things that are going to make us neglectful of Allah Ta'ala. We're either speaking of things that are becoming make us neglectful of Allah Ta'ala. We're doing those things that make us ghafilin. And therefore to become dhakirin, meaning to be aware, Allah is watching and Allah consciousness all the time. We have to listen to those talks that will lead us to in that direction. Hazrat Thani Ramadan mentions, what is true contentment? We all want true contentment. We want happiness. We want a ba lutf zindagi. He says, happiness and contentment in life is not based on wealth, but on the joy of oneself and the soul, the spiritual self. If that is happy, then you have got contentment. Spiritual happiness is based on the relationship with the deen and Allah Ta'ala. Spiritual happiness is based on the relationship with the deen and Allah Ta'ala. What relation, what connection you have with deen, with Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, a person who has deen, but little material possessions, he has a pleasant life. On the other hand, without deen, the dunya, the material possessions also become unpleasant. Man has got a lot of wealth, but he's got no deen in his life. In reality, he is not having a pleasant life. If a person possessing wealth is seen to be in happiness, and we see a very rich person, and we see him very content, as the Thani Ramadan explains very well, he says, then it is either because of the portion of deen that he has in him. Sometimes a person is wealthy, but he's deendar also. Because of the deen he's got in his life, Allah is giving him that enjoyment of the material things he has. That doesn't mean every rich person has got an unpleasant life, no. Sometimes the rich person, Sayyidina Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu anhu, was so wealthy. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu was so wealthy. Some Sahaba were so wealthy that the richest people among in our community can't even reach their wealth. They're plentiful. But Allah gave them a very content life. Why? Because the deen they had in their life. The iman was strong. They had Quran, hadith, sunnah in their lives. So sometimes the person gives him dunya and deen. That's his great fortune. Allah gave him both. But many times we see a wealthy person and we are of the opinion that mashallah he's very content. But if he's got no deen in him, then the happiness that we're seeing in him, as the Thani Ram mentioned, it is the observer has been fooled by the external condition of that person. If his internal condition is investigated, nothing but distress and unhappiness will be found. It is also possible the observer is unaware of the reality of genuine happiness. He himself does not know happiness. So either the wealthy person, genuine, mashallah, he's got strong iman, he's making fikr for deen. So Allah has given him both, that's one. Or the person outwardly seems to be happy, but if you really probe into his life, we shouldn't be doing that, but if the person has to investigate his life, it's beautiful home, but inside there's no happiness at all. Husband and wife are not talking. Wife in her own room, he's got his own room. Children not talking. Son got a problem, daughter got a problem. There's only misery, there's only fighting and swearing there. There's only unhappiness. But everything looks, mashallah, the person is so happy. Well, the third thing is, that we who are looking at that person, we don't understand what is happiness ourselves. We think happiness is having a lot of wealth. There is not happiness. So it's also possible the observer is unaware of the reality of genuine happiness. He, the observer now, has taken superficial comfort to be true happiness. The secret is that true happiness and contentment is different, and the means of happiness is different. One is happy, the contentment, and one is the means of getting the contentment. Do not misunderstand the material means and possessions to be actual happiness. We give a whole majlis on this. Asbab-e-rahat and rahat. What is the real rahat? And what is asbab-e-rahat? Asbab, the means of comfort. We put an aircon. It's very hot. The aircon is on or the fan is on. That is the means of rahat. But not necessarily you get the rahat. Because you could be still sitting there, and if you got that worry and that business worry and that fikr, and you got debts to pay, and you got that problem, or the enemy is waiting for you outside, and you're going to, or you got the SARS is after you, whatever it is. So you may have that aircon on to make you cool, but you're pareshan. And sometimes the aircon may not be switched on, but you got rahat, you're happy, comfortable. If those material things which people consider to be the means of happiness are not so, then wallah. If those material things which people consider to be the means of happiness are not so, then wallah. In reality, they are actually punishment. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأُولَادُهُمْ. And do not let their wealth and their offspring impress you. Allah's plan is to punish them with these things in the world. Referring to disbelievers, Allah tells them, believers, don't look at the disbelievers, how much wealth they got, and how many children, and how many bungalows they got, and how many cars, and what buildings they own, nothing. Allah is using the same things to punish them in this world. And that their souls shall depart whilst they are disbelievers. It's not necessary that the person in possession of the material means of comfort to be in actual comfort. Also, it does not necessarily mean a person not in possession of those material things is not happy and contented. It is the way of Allah to deprive a person from comfort who is neglectful towards the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Neglect towards deen results in destruction of worldly comfort too. Person who neglects deen, Allah ta'ala deprives him of dunya comfort as well. Just one more last malfooz inshallah. Two virtues of woman. There are two qualities usually more vigorous in women than in men. MashaAllah, today the mothers and sisters will be very happy. There are two qualities usually more vigorous in women than in men, which makes the woman worthy of praise and kindness. The first is the ability to make khidmat, to serve others. We find the woman folk, khidmat. Men will still think, now da'wat will call two or three people. Ladies will not call many. They like to serve. They get happy. People are coming and they will serve them. Even ourselves, the ladies, the wives are ready to make our khidmat. The wife asks for one glass of water, will ask 10 questions. You sure you want it now? Full glass, half glass, on the fridge or tap water. By the time she brings herself, husband is sitting there. So a little headache, he just needs one panado. Get me this, get me that. Everything is there. Everything is there. The day when the wife leaves the world, now what is that? Now he's missing his wife. Why? That khadima he had, she's no longer there. She does it. And in so many cases, even though the husband is beating her up, really, she's still enduring all that pain. Still will go to her husband. She'll still serve the husband. Imagine we go home, food is ready. Close the eye and everything is done. So this jazba a woman has of khidmat. Men don't have that type of jazba. And the second thing is the chastity. The natural chastity a woman has. Although a man may be safe from unchaste actions, it will be difficult to find one pure from unchaste thoughts. So men, Allah forgive us, we are weak. Even though a person, Allah save, mashallah, we're not going to commit something wrong, Allah save us. Person won't become unchaste. But, what happens? You're sitting together, what are you thinking about? What are you talking? women, Allah Ta'ala has made them chaste. On the other hand, as it says, if a survey of 100 noble women is taken, most probably the entire 100 will be such that they never had a single unchaste thought throughout their lives. Allah Ta'ala mentions such women in the Quran. Their minds are pure, hearts are pure. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal on all these malfuzat, which is taken from Quran and Hadith, it's all for our reformation. They are simple, simple anecdotes, not just to be just heard once and read and finish. We have to read it again and again to bring these beautiful qualities in our lives. Inshallah, if we develop all these good qualities, a person who brings more of these qualities into his life, his heart becomes more pure. And he goes more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we don't want just one or two marks. We want full marks in our examination. We want to be the best. So try and gather as more and more noble qualities that we can. We do not know how long we're going to live. Time is running out. But imagine if you start implementing these little qualities that we have, that we're hearing about, and try and bring into our life. And how does a person bring into his life? He makes sincere effort. Somebody asked me this morning, well, how do we discern, how we make out that I'm doing something and I've done something with sincerity? I said, that is not our object. How sincere you are, only Allah Ta'ala knows. Sincerity, ikhlas, and to be rewarded in that, only Allah has knowledge that you did it 100% for Him. But we have to strive to do something with ikhlas. In other words, we have to make an effort as far as possible. I'm doing it not for any other person to see and know about it. Like they say, the right hand gives and the left hand doesn't even know about it. Some people say that your farishas even don't know. But of course they know, they're writing it. But the intention is that you do it solely and only for Allah Ta'ala. You don't do it for any praise whatsoever. You don't do it for any reason, any other reason besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes let us try and do some action only from the beginning, right till the end, only for Allah Ta'ala. And even after that, we don't even talk about it to any other person. But our job is to try and do the action with sincerity. Allah alone knows best how much sincerity we have, whether we've got 100%, 90%, 80%, how much He's going to accept, that is His. We have to make that effort, inshallah. But once we develop ourselves like this, inshallah, we will find happiness in our life, we'll get enjoyment, you won't feel miserable, you won't feel spiritually sick and down and dead. We'll feel happy. And then, once you try and develop this into your life, try and pass it on to others. In such a way that you're not commanding them. You've got love for the person. So you're sharing this good quality with your family, with your wife and children, with your friends. If you're traveling somewhere, then you talk about it. You don't say, I've got this quality. So nice if you can get this quality. Or you can see somebody who you're close to, and you've got some authority over him, and he will listen to you. Then try and pass on this to him also. Then you find yourself also, because once you teach something to some person, and you yourself, you're not practicing upon it, and he sees it, but just now you taught me this, what happened here? Like Mazhar Sahab, Ahmad Barakatum gave a nice example. As that one Mawli Sahab, mashallah, gave a powerful bayan on eating less, etc. And how a person should eat one third solids, one third liquid, one third for air. Very good bayan. And the person listening was the doctor, he said, mashallah. His wife was a doctor, she also heard it over the receiver. He said, this Maulana, you must give him dawat, you know. Such a powerful bayan he gave, and making a lot of sense because we are in the medical field. And such a nice thing he showed, this is a sunnah of Rasulullah. So they give him a nice dawah, they cooked enough food, because they know he's going to eat so little, and then the others will, mehman will eat, his children will eat. So 27 nice chapatis, rotis they made, and this Maulana started 1, 2, 3, he finished all those rotis one way, and all the food that was there. Hey, then the doctor is saying, Maulana, what happened here? You give bayan just now, about eating less than what happened here. He said, no, that was not for the bayan. That's for the bayan. You see, we have to practice what we preach. So I'm not speaking about eating and all that now. Allah give us tawfiq of making islah for ourselves. We all require islah in different departments. Maqsad is to implement those things, implement it. We can't become kamil overnight. We can't become kamil overnight. We have to strive, do this, that, but has many good qualities so that our hearts begin to... A lot of His mercy will make us shine. Allah will polish our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at little things a person does. It's amazing. But He does it with ikhlas. In fact, one of the malfoos will be doing little bit of ikhlas. A small action, but with ikhlas. And Allah accepts it. Sometimes we do a big project we can put up. But no ikhlas is of a show. So we have a big placard for whole ummah to see. What you did. Allah doesn't accept it. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.